We've been studying and began some 5 weeks ago on how to work God's plan for your life and what the devil uses to stop that plan. We studied imagery, imaginations, exalted things against the word that the devil uses. And we finally ended up in Mark 4, because Mark 4 is a tremendous parable that teaches the weaponry that Satan uses to choke the Word of God out of our lives. And we found out the subject of Mark 4 was the sower soweth the Word. That was the subject. The objective was how you and I as believers can guard against these five weapons, these five things, persecutions, afflictions, cares of this life, deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things. How to guard against these five things and produce up to 100-fold walk with God based on His Word. All right, in the weeks past, we covered persecutions, afflictions. I think we had a lot of fun studying the cares of this life. And then we got into the deceitfulness of riches and just scared the tar out of some of you. Found out that Jesus was more concerned with the condition of the heart than with even how much you gave. We explored the grip that the power that's in money has on the character of a person. We brought some examples out as only Jesus could give. And then we graduated to the last force, the very last force that the devil uses to remove the Word of God out of our lives. And that was the lusts of other things. Now, in review, persecution comes from without. Afflictions come from without. The cares of this world is weight that comes from without. If Satan can't get you with them three, then he'll switch to the last two, which he'll hold in reserve. But the deceitfulness of riches, that comes from within, because it is a deferent, it is a mar in character. It'll come from within. And finally, the last one is a pressure from within, and that is the lusting after of other things. Well, we covered some men of God and the different reasons that men fall. But the reason the devil reserved the lust of other things as the last force to remove the Word of God out of you and I is because that force he can use to wear us down with. I mean, many men have survived persecutions and afflictions and cares. You couldn't buy them. You couldn't deceive them with riches. But the last one got them. See, the lust of other things. And that's where we left off last night, was exploring why the lust of other things is such a powerful force to remove the Word of God out of you and I before it can produce the answer that we need. And we found out the reason why was this. You and I are existing in a body. In a body. That was given to us by the first Adam. Now, when we talk about our spirit man has been born again. It's a new creation. It is in the express image of Jesus Christ right now. Right now. It has entered into life. L-I-F-E. Zoe, God kind, past, present, future. I am eternally existing in a Zoe kind of life. But my body, not my body. This body was given to me by the first Adam, not the last, the first one. And it has yet to undergo change. I'm waiting for the sound of the trump when this thing will change in the twinkling of an eye from corruptible to incorruptible. But as of yet, it has not changed. And it is capable of sin. And it will be capable of sin until the day that you put it in the grave or the trump sounds. Either way, until that day, this thing will be capable of sinning. That's why he says, this I say, therefore, brethren, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the warrings or the lusts of the flesh. And your body, empowered by Satan, it has a long time to war against you. In fact, all of your life. That's why even though you may win over the others, you may outlast them. This last one, the empowerment of the flesh, the lustings after other things, it'll be with you until the trump sounds. So if you don't learn how to walk in the Spirit, you will not have the degree of victories that he's made available to everyone, you and I. I'm starting to get excited. I feel like a bloodhound that has smelled victory. I feel like the devil's got a big problem, me. I don't want the lusts of other things warring at me until they finally dominate, until finally I give the Word of God second place in my life, till they wear me down to defeat. I don't want that. So if he said, this I say, brethren, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill these warrings, then for God's sake, man, what else could a man want out of his life? What else could you want but to know how? See, to walk after the Spirit. What else could you want? All the others lie behind that. If you ever really learned how to walk in the Spirit and put this flesh in the place it has been declared, then everything that Jesus said you're free from, and brother, it's a load. Sickness, disease, poverty, afflictions, cares. Everything that he said you're free from, you'll eventually walk out of it. And into everything that he said that you are. And there's a whole Bible full of what he said you are. And one of them's more than a conqueror. My hair stands on end when I hear him say in me, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Does it cause your hair to stand on end when you hear things like, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy? I mean, if these sayings are so, and you know that they are, who among you would call God a liar? No brave people. Then if these things, if they're so, and we know they are because they're the Word of God, then there must be a way. You know, there must be a way to walk after His Spirit. My God, there must be a way the Spirit gets involved with my spirit to get that power that He said is greater. Out of me onto the problem. There must be a way to walk after his spirit. Till this flesh doesn't have the final say-so. It won't tell me how much I'll pray. It won't tell me how fat I'll be. It won't tell me nothing. When it rises up, I got one word for it. Just shut up. You say, well, I'd like to do that, but my flesh walks all over me. That's why he says, he that suffers in the flesh is free from sin. Now, a minor degree of that suffering is when you push that cherry pie away with ice cream on it. A major degree is when you turn the other cheek and let some old boy slap the fire out of it. But they both flesh. Well, if I can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill, And I'd kind of like to know what it is. And that's where we ended up last night. In fact, we were in the 13th verse, and we'll review it again. Are you ready? For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, through the Spirit, through the Spirit, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of this body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now let's pass in review on these verses just a moment. And I won't spend long on them. Get the tape from last night. Just get it. But he says, it's through the Spirit that you mortify. For we have not received the spirit of bondage of corruption again to fear. On the contrary, we received the Spirit that causes me to cry, Abba, or Daddy God, out of my spirit. And His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is bearing witness with my spirit that I'm His child. And no matter how bad the corruption and the fear and the bondage of the flesh gets, how heavy it gets, it doesn't matter. It didn't come from God. The part that did is the Spirit's witness with your spirit that causes you to cry, Abba! You are the Father of my spirit. Well, he says His Spirit bears witness with ours that we're His child and we're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. But a joint heir to what? It says, if so be that we suffer with Him, we may be glorified together. The suffering he's talking about there is not car wrecks and diseases. The suffering he's talking about there is, I'm a joint heir with Jesus. The witness told me that I am. It told me. I'm His heir. A joint heir with Jesus. But a joint heir to what? The sufferings he's talking about is so that we suffer with Him means I am imprisoned in a body that's dying and capable of sin. But that's okay. That teeny witness made me a joint heir with Jesus, a joint heir to the resurrection. He has risen. He has been glorified. And I'm a joint heir with Him. So a lifetime of the sufferings that this flesh causes, warring against me, is not worthy to be compared at the moment of joint heirship when this flesh gives way to glorification and is out of the range of all that kind of suffering. Because I'll be free. And that teeny witness on the inside of me told me all that. It said, you're a child and an heir, and I joined heir with Christ. That go ahead, he says, put up with the flesh, dominate it. For a lifetime of that kind of suffering isn't worthy to be compared at the moment joint heirship takes place. And you receive a body fashioned just exactly like Jesus's. But meanwhile, you're wearing that old outfit, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Your beauty is fading day by day. You're wearing it. And it wants to sin at times, and it makes you suffer. But take Jesus' word for it. You dominating this flesh and all the suffering it causes, you can't even begin to compare it. It's not worthy to the moment of glorification. The greatest reward a man could have is to stand in the presence of Jesus and say, I have ran the race. I've completed what He has called me to do, and my flesh failed to stop me. God, what a reward. Well, we know then, according to these verses, that your flesh will war against you. It will. Don't worry about it. You'll join air with Him. And because He has risen, so will you. That's what I got to worry about. I got a glorified body laid onto my account. It is on my account. just like Abraham whipped the devil on accounted righteousness. I've got a glorified body on my account, even though this is not glorified yet. I'm whipping the devil on credit because I know I got one on my account. I mean, if the devil, if he could be whipped by Abraham on accounted righteousness, I can certainly whip the devil on accounted glorification. God, a guy could get excited over this. Well, he says, it's through the Spirit then that you mortify the deeds of the body. That is to say, that you are empowered to bring them to a dead standstill. Doesn't matter how much suffering they cause. You got more power in the Spirit than your flesh has over you.
Well, it don't feel like it.
What are you calling the word a liar again?
But I've been whipped for 21 years.
You've been whipped over the fact that you still had more power than your flesh. It says through the Spirit you can mortify. Well, if you've ever been in any of our meetings, you know what mortify means. Mortician. Mortuary. Your mind catching on? If a mortician has prepared you for an overnight stay in the mortuary, your flesh will not give you any more trouble. So it really doesn't take a lightning quick mind to realize that when he says it's through the Spirit that you can mortify it, it's actually saying you can bring this stuff to a dead standstill. And I mean a dead standstill. Yes. Well, if the Spirit has all that power, and all of us knoweth that it does, most of us have fell to one form of religion or another that agreed with the flesh, not opposed it, agreed with it. That's the most clever tool the devil has.
Well, sister.
Yes, devil. See, if she knew it was him, she'd slap the fire out of him. Don't call me sister. But see, God ain't saying, he's not saying,
that disease came on you to teach you something, because when you get flat on your back, you can look up. You know, you needed to be humbled. That's it, God's humbling me.
No, devil said,
eat it up, sister, eat it up.
Well, religion will cause us to turn to a lesser form of gospel, and usually it agrees with the flesh. The flesh, it agrees with it. Do you hear me? It agrees with it. It's easier to walk that way than this way. Easier. But the flesh, most of us men, God even, you know, we'll search the Word of God to find things that agree with our doctrine. We don't want to conform to the Word. We want to conform it to us and our ideals.
Well, if it fits, I'll wear it.
Somebody ought to slap you. Are you having a good time? So am I. Well, then if he says it's through the Spirit that you can mortify, through the Spirit, for God's sake, would somebody tell me how to get the power out of here onto the problem then? As I'm tired of sickness and disease and poverty and just about every other damnable thing he said I'm free from dominating me. I am tired of it. Let's go a little bit further. Looking once again then at the 19th verse or 18th verse, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall at glorification be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, or every created thing, creation, waiteth. They are waiting in anticipation for the manifestations of the sons of God. Now, I think it would behoove us to stop just for a moment on this manifestation of the sons of God, just to see exactly what he's talking about. I mean, if all creation is waiting for it, then what in the world is it waiting for? I know you're a sheltered bunch. But how many of you have heard of the doctrine of the manifested sons of God? Raise your little hand. Gosh, I didn't know they got into Tulsa. You're not from Tulsa. My confidence has been restored. Well, it's really quite the doctrine. First of all, it began with everybody just running around like you are, and then pretty soon you join this specialized group, and there's several things you have to do. One of them is you must be baptized in the name of Jesus, or you won't be one of them. Father, Son, Holy Ghost just isn't enough. So you get baptized into that name, then at least it qualifies you. And then if you become one of the elite, the manifested sons of God, one day you'll be walking along minding your own business just like you are now, and some great anointing will fall out of heaven on you and make a Superman out of you. And you'll run around manifesting sonship all over. March, you'll be that army that's marching all over the world, executing the power of God, you know. One day it's here, one day it's not. And then finally, that wasn't enough, so then they started preaching a certain sect of them that you're not going to die. You know, they call them no-dies. They says, we're not going to die. And they kept dying. They just said, well, they were in unbelief. See, the problem was they started that doctrine too long before the rapture. You know, if they had just started 10 years or something, maybe. Maybe some of them could have entered into heaven thinking they were right. But the leaders of the no-dies, they kept dying. Then they start preaching, he's going to come in our flesh. He'll build higher and higher, and then he'll come to full glorification in our flesh. We'll just pass over. You know, none of this dying and corrupting and changing in the twinkling of an eye. None of that stuff. You know, they really got weird. But what amazes me is how they could get all that out of there. What I hate is what Jesus hated, his sheep to be in bondage. He hated it. He says, oh, you hypocrites, you vipers, you snakes. You'll cross land and sea to make a proselyte. When you make it, he's twofold the child of hell than you were. You devour the sheep's, the widow's houses. You take everything they got and you pray and hide behind religion to cover it up. He said, you're putrid, you're decayed. Your outside is a sepulcher. It's whitewashed, but you're full of decaying, rotten men's bones. Same way I feel. When his sheep were taken. Exactly the same way. Well, then what are these manifested sons of God? See, what are they? Well, it wouldn't hurt us for a moment to run forward to the 23rd verse. Now look at 23. 23 says, and not only they, that's all creation subjected to corruption by the fall of Adam. That's what the word they means. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within our righteous spirit, waiting for the adoption process to be brought to culmination or made complete. And when will this adoption process be made complete? At the redemption of our bodies. And I want you to think about this for a minute. He said, us that have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, why in God's green earth would he say first fruits if somewhere down the line they wasn't going to be a second fruits? Oh, there is going to be a second fruits. He says, us that have that first fruits, in other words, us that's been born again, us that's received the Holy Spirit, us that's become the righteousness of God in Christ, us that's entered into the Zoe God kind of spirit life, the image of Jesus. We have received the first fruits. He said, all of you and I, we're groaning out of our righteous nature while we are waiting, while we're passing through this life, waiting for the entire adoption process to be made complete. God served adoption papers on you when you were born again. But that adoption will not be made complete until the redemption of your body. As of now, I possess a spirit
that has been born again. It has been spawned from the loins of the last atom, that life-giving spirit, that quickening spirit, Jesus Christ. I used to have a spirit that was given to me by the first Adam. But then I met Jesus, and now I have been born of the last Adam, not that first one, the last one. But I'm still wearing a body given to me by that first Adam. But that's okay. The adoption will be made complete at the sound of the trump when I'm spawned from the loins of the last Adam, that life-giving spirit. Not only new righteous born-again spirit, but a glorified body. And at that point in history, I will be spawned from the loins of the last Adam. Spirit, soul, and body. I will be a manifested Son of God. Totally, completely born of that last Adam, Jesus Christ. That, my friend, is a manifested Son of God. It's when your body changes hands from the first Adam to the last, when the adoption process is made complete. That, my friend, is what all creation is waiting for. They're waiting to be delivered from the corruption, the bondage, into that glorious liberty that we're going to experience. Well, he says, us that have that first fruit, we groan within our righteous spirit, waiting for this whole process to be made complete. Now you listen to me very close. Because he said, I am empowered by the Spirit of God to mortify this flesh. He says, through the Spirit that you mortify, or you are empowered to bring the deeds of this body to a dead standstill. The lusts of other things will have no power over you. But how? How does the Spirit do this? Well, now we've discovered a verse that says, I'm groaning within my righteous spirit. Well, I'm imprisoned in a body that I am waiting for the redemption process to take place and the adoption to be made complete. But yet I'm still imprisoned in this thing. And it's capable of sin. But do you know what that makes me know? That makes me know that my prayer language, my groanings in the Spirit, that my intercessions have something to do with the mortification of my flesh. He said, son, this is what you need to do while you're waiting for the adoption process to be made complete. Now, why would he tell me to do that if it did not help me? Well, I have found it to be that help. More help than I could probably stand here and even tell you about. If I was to tell you the times I've had my back up against the wall, I didn't even have enough strength to fight my way out. And like Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. When I have been forced to switch my dependency from the flesh, even if it's by force, to the Spirit, he says, I'll rather therefore glory in my infirmities. For when I'm weak, it forces my dependency on the Spirit, and I find out I'm strong. I'm not a loser. I am a winner. I had my back up against the wall so many times that I had no strength to fight it in the natural. After a while, I didn't even want to. I'm groaning in my righteous spirit that them words of eternity, tongues, is escaping out of me. That my heart is dictating the prayer.
Somebody said, I think we should get us a big old list.
and all the things I'm going to pray for. You can do that. But he'll pray for what your heart is dictating anyway. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will eventually speak. The devil will take, or God will take, the problem that's governing your heart, that's dominating your life. That problem will empower the language of tongues. That's what you're going to pray anyway. He answers the desires of your heart. He answers your heart. You can make lists up. Some of you make lists up. I'm going to pray for the lost. I'm going to pray for this. Because you think it impresses God. And look at little humble me. Listen to me. You'll get your share of praying for the lost then if you just pray. But still, your heart's going to govern your prayer. Why, Roberson? If your flesh is dominating you, what do you want? You want out of it or not? Your heart's going to dictate your prayer. Man, you ain't had nobody pray for you until you've had the Holy Spirit. And as much as I respect the ministries in here, and God knows there's some in here, there is still one who I would rather have pray for me, because he knows the beginning of my problem from the end, and he knows why my flesh is whipping my socks off. The man that says,
I don't have time to pray, even though my problem is so pressing.
He is the man that really doesn't want to be delivered. If it wasn't enough that he said we've grown out of a righteous spirit, waiting for this whole process to be made complete, the culmination of all things, he has to go a little further and strengthen that even more in Romans 8:26, which says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our inabilities to produce results because of the flesh. When we don't know how to pray as we ought, our champion will step in. And he'll make intercession for us in a supernatural language that cannot be uttered. For he knows the whole plan and mind of God. And he prays according to that plan for your life, which says, you're free from this, and you're delivered from this, and you're into this. He's praying that you be set free from every damnable thing Jesus said you're free from, and into everything he said you are. Your flesh getting to feel punier all the time, is it? When I was first born again, it was in ultra holiness, and God blessed them people. In fact, I remember the saints used to testify all the time. I'd get so tickled. There was one particular testimony that was just long enough. They'd be seated.
Testify, Sister Brown. I am glad that I am saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Just long enough to stand up and sit down. It was glorious. You know, it'd catch you off guard, you know. Testify, Brother Bob. Well, I'm glad I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what. Well, we had a doctrine of saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I said, now, which one's first?
Saved.
Which one's second?
Sanctified.
Which one's third?
Filled with the Holy Ghost.
I said, how about getting saved, filled, and then sanctified?
Oh, no. Can't do that.
Sanctification is a definite second act of grace. I said, what is it? That's when supernaturally the Spirit came in and you're supposed to seek it at the altar. And suddenly the power of God would come on you in sanctification. And they call it an act of grace, a definite manifestation of the Spirit. And you'd be totally cleansed from any of your dirty old habits. Tobacco chewing, whiskey drinking, smoking, going with girls that do. Why, you even delivered from girl watching. At least for a few minutes. Well, we had to be sanctified, and once we had that experience of sanctification, which I've seen men
seek it for 23 years. How long you been seeking sanctification?
23 years.
Each time I think I have it, I'd go home, find out I still had thoughts and things. Well, I still do. I got them. They just don't have me. You'd lie if you tell me that birds didn't fly over your head. Some of them build nests in your hair. Stay there, don't they? So very few of people went on to get the Holy Ghost because they had to be sanctified before they said it would do you any good to seek the Holy Ghost. So I kind of got slipped in there and got myself, you know, sanctified enough, I guess, to get filled with the Holy Ghost because he came on me. I didn't know why he came on me. But he came on me, and I started stammering. And one of them ladies says,
"He's got stammering lips."
And I thought, you know, she's right. They were stammering, and I finally talked in tongues. But to tell you the truth, I never did think I'd get filled with the Holy Ghost. God really had to give me an experience. After my lip quivered, and she says, "I believe you got it," I went home. And at about 1 in the morning, I had my arms raised, and I was walking around the front room praising God. And I remember my wife praying, and she said, "God," she says, "make him talk with tongues so long he can't even catch his breath." You know? And the power came into my hands. When it got to my chest, I fell out. Well, see, what I didn't know is when they told me sanctification was cleansing from drinking and smoking and chewing, going with girls to do. See, that they had it backwards. It says it's through the Spirit that you mortify. You don't clean up to get good enough for God. He's not the one that needs your help. You need His. You don't get good enough to get Him. I mean, if you could do that, you wouldn't need Him. But He comes in to supply the power for you to clean up with. It's through the Spirit that you mortify. And now we're finding that the prayer language of the Holy Spirit is the major key to this mortification. Why? Number one, because it edifies you. And edify means to build you up on your most holy faith. To edify means it actually anoints you to understand the Word of God. Well, how does faith come? It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word. And my God, if I'm anointed to understand it, we got half the battle whipped. Said what, Jesus? I said, "I bore your sicknesses and carried your pains, and I delivered you from your filthy habits." Said what? And pretty soon, the anointing, the illumination, understand, it is born in my spirit. It's called edification. And through the Spirit, I mortify. When that power rises up, look out, hell. You're not going to have me very much longer. Well, he said, it's through the Spirit. Well, see, through the holiness teachings that we were receiving,
they said, if you're sinning, God won't hear your prayers.
Well, it wasn't that I was sinning, but I was sinning because ugly things had a hold of me that I didn't want to have a hold of me, but I didn't know how to get rid of them. So when these ugly things dominated and I wanted help and didn't know how to get it, they told me I was too ugly to get it. So where did that leave you? Well, I got to clean up. How do you do it? In your own strength, because he don't hear you because you are ugly? What have we done to people? Well, they said he won't hear you. He won't hear you. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost. They even doubted that I was filled. You know, a stupid pipe. P-I-P-E, pipe. Not television, a pipe. On the way to church, I'd have it in the car, be puffing on it. After a little hell's fire and brimstone, I'd throw it out the window on the way home. A lot of good that do, I'd just buy another one. I actually didn't have enough strength to go to Hogantlet for God until somebody, the Spirit, gave me the revelation of the love of God. Your scaring hell out of me didn't do any good. Them condemnation trips on my duty didn't do me any good. Them things don't give you power. What caused me to hold a whole gauntlet is when I found out that I was the righteousness of God in Christ, and there was one who was head over heels in love, sick in love with Dave Roberson, and that is Jesus. That he's an ever-present help in my times of trouble. And he is and always will be and shall always remain the best friend I have ever had. He was not set for my destruction. He has always been my strength. The devil had lied to me. When I found that out and I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I started praying in tongues even though I had a tobacco breath. Solo no more, there's so much I'm not going to know. Solo no solo no more, so much. Hold on, my son. Well, if you couldn't put it down before in your own strength, then you might as well wait on God. The confession of my mouth is I have been delivered from that ugly thing and that ugly temper and too much prayer, eating, devilish television, taking time and too much of this and too much of that and yelling at your kids and doing it all wrong. And you know, I have been delivered. Well, have you? I used to didn't want to pray in tongues because I smoked the pipe. But see, what I would do continually under the instructions of my elders is pick the fruit off my flesh tree. I know this is wrong. But because nobody told me how to destroy the root, I would continually grow it back until I found out that it's through the Spirit that you mortify. That the more I prayed in tongues, the more I was anointed to understand illumination and revelation. The more he charged me up on the inside like a battery. Until one day, the edification, the faith, the power was in me, got stronger than the tree and killed the root. And the pipe dropped off. Because of the strength on the inside, I harvested it for good. Poverty eating your socks up, is it? Yeah, devil. He'll use that force to neutralize you. Why not? If you'll take it. But he that prays in tongues, he edifies himself to understand. And it's what? By an act of grace, Messiah became my poverty. It's what? Given unto be given unto me. What? And it isn't just the forms of outward flesh anymore, but it's empowerment of spirit. And ain't the thing this side of hell the devil can do about it is going to fall off. I don't care what your problem is. Some of you are in turmoil. Some of you living in adultery. Bad sin. And one thing you can't figure out is how come you still feel the promptings of the Spirit. See, that power is there to mortify you. Even if you don't feel like praying, your mind has degenerated to the place where you don't even want to. You'd rather sin. Do it by an act of your clinical will. And pretty soon the light that's almost out, it'll come back on.
and it'll get bigger. And as he anoints you to understand, the frames of your thinking will begin to change until you will finally at least have the strength to want to walk out of it. Starting now, huh? And the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and rendered it unfruitful before it can produce your answer.